and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast. Today we are coming live from Edgbaston in Birmingham. My name's James. Let's meet our guest. Hello.
Hello.
Tell us who you are.
So my name's Laura Donnelly. I'm the Head of Sales and Marketing for London Northwestern and West Midlands Railways.
Keen and regular listeners to this podcast will know we have done an episode before, a couple of years ago.
It was.
Which basically entailed me just fangirling about trains for 15 minutes. Not going to do that, right? If you need to do a little like finger click, back in the room, James, at any point during this, absolutely fine, you can do that. So what we are going to talk about a little bit today is, I guess resilience is kind of how we're sort of headlining it. Actually, how would you headline this?
I think resilience is the easy word to say. But actually, we joke about it quite a lot within my team. You can say survival. You can say progression. You can say so many things, because I think within such a busy world, and marketing, you know, constantly evolving, constantly changing, you are always second guessing yourself. With the introduction of AI, everyone's sitting there. How many seminars today have been about AI?
Yeah.
It's such a conversation piece. And with that comes, what does that mean for my job?
Yep.
What does that mean for my career? If I don't understand it, what does that mean? So, and that's just one example. So resilience for me is quite a large subject, but it's something that I really focus on with my team, but also myself personally.
Okay. It does feel like, I don't know, maybe people have always said this, but it feels like at the moment marketing is like moving and changing and evolving and pivoting faster than it ever has, to the point it's almost like a job in itself, just kind of keeping up with it. There's always someone saying, hey, this is the new thing that you should be doing, and no, you shouldn't be doing that anymore, we've moved on from that now. How do you kind of keep up with it all?
It's quite interesting that you say that. I attended a few seminars not that long ago, and somebody actually shared that AI is the latest thing. But actually, if you look back across the last 10, 20 years, there's always something that comes out that revolutionise everything. So actually, it's just the next thing. And I thought, oh, actually, that makes sense. It's exactly the same as when all of a sudden we're talking about PPC or anything. Something will always come along. And for me, I was like, ah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's just the next thing. So I like to look at it like that, because then it's not this big, scary, the world has changed completely. It's actually, it's the next thing. And actually, if you've got that sort of mind that goes, I'm learning, I want to, you know, inquisitive, I want to find out, then this is your next thing to find out. So all I take from it, and I in no way am an AI expert, I am not at all, I am just learning. So I've attended a couple of these seminars, I've attended others, I, you know, read about it, I ask my colleagues about it, people who are a lot more versed in it than I am, and I try and get them to explain it to me. But actually, the biggest thing I've taken is use it in your own personal life.
Right.
Because I think if you start using things like AI in your own personal life, you start to trust it a little bit more and find out. So I generally just don't panic about anything.
Okay.
So when we say resilience, I say it to my team all the time. I'm always thinking, what's the solution? Let's not panic. You can spend more time panicking than you can about just getting to the end goal, the solution.
So just chill out.
Just chill out.
Just chill out and enjoy the ride.
Absolutely.
Thing is that, like, you're right in terms of AI is the latest thing. And you can go back to other kind of big latest things. So social media was the latest thing. I mean, once upon a time, email was the latest thing.
Yeah.
There was a world before websites, believe it or not.
Who knew?
I was there, I saw it, it existed. And that means there'll be a next latest thing, and everyone wants their thing to be the next latest thing. So they're probably kind of like, you know, waving the flag saying, you need to get on this because it's going to be the next big thing. So how do you evaluate whether something is actually worth getting involved in and doing or not? Because there's always trends, isn't there?
There is. And I think one of the biggest things that we have as a, I want to say luxury in marketing, is testing.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that we can do and should do. So, you know, whenever we're looking at campaigns, it's channels that have worked, channels that we know work, but also what's that testing budget and what's that testing element? Because if you're going to be scared of it, if you're not going to do it, you're never going to know. So that is a big thing I like to look at, is actually just give it a go. Small budget, small test, you know, organic testing, whatever it may be. But give it a test. and see. Because again, what's the worst that can happen with a tiny bit? It could all go wrong. And you could say, shouldn't have done that. Won't do that again. But it's a small testing budget and you can actually substantiate why you did it. Because you wanted to see, is it worth it? Is it worthwhile?
I'm very in tune with what you're saying. I'm trying to almost play devil's advocate and kind of make the arguments against that.
No, I disagree.
Because I kind of feel like you probably need a team of a certain size to be able to do that. And there might be people listening to this who are thinking, do you know what? I'm a one-person marketing department or I'm two-person marketing department. We don't have the resources to just try things and get it wrong. We'll try it, but we've got to get it right. And I guess, I don't know, I kind of think like there's people whose default is just to say no. And over the years, they've realized it's better to say no. And then if it turns out that something is the next big thing, they'll catch up rather than being ahead of the curve. And I'm not even sure there's necessarily a question there, but do you have any advice for people in those kind of situations whereby they feel it's safer just to avoid new things? So, you know, they don't particularly have to be resilient because they'll just have a plan and they stick to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd say there's probably like a two-pronged attack there. I had a very small team. And we were exactly that. It was, oh, we don't have the resource. We just have to deliver. So let's do what we know delivers. And I kind of looked at it in two different ways. And actually, I put a lot of time and effort into business cases around growing the team. Because actually, if you can substantiate investment into the team, you're growing your team. And therefore, you're coming out the other end with a better solution. But then, like I sort of said before, the testing can be incredibly small. You don't have to put a gigantic budget. It doesn't have to be a paid element.
Yeah.
It could be something really small. But also as well, we've found that there's quite a lot of partners or, you know, other people that also want the same outcome as you. So actually joining forces on things is also another way to just get that outcome without putting huge amounts of time and effort on your side. So there's lots of ways to look at it, but I definitely can relate to not having the time, the resource, the team, the money. And actually I said, well, let's look at the solution here. Grow the team, grow the resource, put your time and effort into that. And it was not a quick thing. It was, you know, 2 years of here's my story. Let me tell you again. But actually now I'm in the stage where the team has grown and we are looking at that and we're doing more than we ever did before because we put that time and effort in.
What I'm kind of picking up is that it sounds like your team, you know, the business as a whole has a really good culture in terms of trying things and it might not work, but it's fine. It's part of the journey. And I think there's other businesses where maybe it's not quite as receptive. And so, you know, the setbacks of we tried something and it just didn't work, maybe the ramifications from that are a little bit bigger elsewhere. How do you kind of deal with those scenarios where, you know, we give this thing a try, we put quite a bit of time or whatever into it, but actually it's just not worked?
I think it's, for me, it's a lot about the framing from the start. If you're going to frame it in a sort of A or B situation, it either succeeds or fails, then you will end up either succeeding or failing, where actually I think we have a spectrum of outcomes.
Yeah.
And it's not as simple as pass or fail. So I frame things from the beginning as actually the test is a test for a reason, not to have a pass or a fail. And they are the outcomes. So instantly you're not setting yourself up to fail, because nobody wants to do something, come out the other end and fail. That is not a nice feeling. So actually, if you position it from the start that it's not just a pass or fail, that there are A, B, C, D, you know, however many outcomes, you're not going to feel that disappointment, because whatever the outcome is, you have learned something from it.
Yeah.
And I know it is corny as hell, but that positive outcome, that positive sort of thought process and whatever you sort of do as you approach, I find so important. And that is the biggest thing I use for any sort of resilience, is actually just being positive.
Yeah.
So whatever that outcome is, you've learned something. Would you do it again? Yes, no, whatever. But you have learned something. Yeah. keeping the team positive. You know, you're not looking at what went wrong, what, you know, who to blame. It's solution driven. It's what have we learned from this? What could we change? What would we, you know, okay, we might never do it again.
Yep.
But positive thinking, I think, is such a big part of it. And that is a mindset. People seem to think like, oh, no, it's what it is. No, it's a mindset. Yeah. People go through huge things in their lives at work. Work is a huge part of our lives. But we work to live, don't we? You know, I mean, you, if you worked in trains, might be working for the trains, you know, big fan. But we work to live.
Yeah.
So that positivity and how you approach stuff, that's incredibly important.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely bang on. And I think it's a choice, isn't it? You know, it's an active choice, this. And you know, you go away and listen to, you know, a podcast recording or whatever with, you know, generally most successful, really successful business people will talk about the things that they really mucked up and what they learned from that got them to the point of being able to... No one really sets out and everything that they do is perfectly brilliant and successful. It's how do you deal with the setbacks? It's a choice as to whether or not you sulk about it.
Yeah.
Or whether or not you go, okay, well, actually, what have I learned from this? How do I turn this into a positive? And I mean, it applies to so much, doesn't it? You know, I tell the story of, you know, I got into running my own business because I was made redundant. And there'll be loads of people with similar stories. On that day, it feels like the worst thing in the world, but then actually when you kind of pick yourself up and you do and you think, well, I could have wallowed in that, but actually it without necessarily being conscious of it at the time, I actually turned it into a positive. I could do that with other things. I can just draw a line in the sand and think, right, okay, what's the positive line from this? What have I learned from this? So yeah, absolutely, 100% agree with that. And I've got through without any train fangirling or
disappointed, really.
Anything. Yeah, no, we'll do that. We'll do a separate episode after this that's got all that stuff in. It's been brilliant. Just finally, bit of a plug, whether it's for your LinkedIn or whatever it is, if people want to follow up, find out more about you or about the business, what's the best way of doing that?
Yeah, sure. I'm on LinkedIn, Laura Donnelly. I am happy to talk to anyone, really, as this has probably proven, but I genuinely believe that we're all marketeers, and with marketeers because we love finding things out and seeing what's new and everything like that. So I don't think any of us can stand here and go, oh, I'll just do the same thing all the time. So yeah, I'd be absolutely happy to chat to anyone. Reach out.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.